Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Well, I'm curious how your week went this week. You had meetings with people. You had conversations. If you're married, hopefully you had at least one conversation this week. That's a good idea. You took care of kids. You had pressure and stress, and you were busy, and you got stuff in the mail that you didn't necessarily want. Remember when you were excited about getting the mail when you were young, and now all of the mail has the little window on it, which just means somebody needs money? Or maybe you're like me, you were at home and you went into the restroom and there was birds that you heard up of above the wall, and you had to call this place and they come over, and for merely $550 they can remove these birds. What a deal. Why didn't I do it sooner? And you had all of this happen. You studied for finals. You were extremely busy. And through that whole situation, you were filled with the Spirit of God. You had peace and love and joy. You always said the right thing, and grace and mercy followed you all the days of your life. You were the winningest winner of all. You were famous, so famous. You had the whole wide world watching you win on TV, right? Sorry, I just went Dr. Seuss on you. But maybe you didn't. You know, because sometimes you don't. How many of you had a week last week that you say, it was just average, it was an okay week? Okay, how many of you say, I had a really, really good above average week? All right, noon people. How many of you say, last week sucked? I don't want to ever repeat that again. Wherever you are, the fact is, if you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you've decided to become a disciple of His. A disciple is a learner and a follower. And Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be called one of my disciples. And to be a disciple of His, a learner and a follower of His, means that you're going to be in a struggle and a fight no matter what. The devil, the flesh, your own flesh, and the world stand against you. That you were in a process this week where the Holy Spirit is wanting to make you more and more like Jesus. And He's got His work cut out for Him. With us. Are you with me right now? You are a piece of work, is what I'm saying. They nudge the person next to you. There was your chance. You are a piece of work. No, you are His workmanship, created for good works that He planned way in advance for you. And this week you had this incredible opportunity to grow in Him. And every now and then you followed what the Holy Spirit said, and it was better. But then there was other times where you just said, I'm gonna have my way. It's my way or the highway. See what I'm saying? See how you are? And when you demanded your way, and even when you got your way, if it wasn't His way, you struggled with that. My daughters tell me sometimes I'm on the struggle bus. Dad, you're on the struggle bus. Sometimes you're on the struggle bus. Sometimes you're the struggle bus driver. I mean, it's just nothing is going right. And some of that has to do with the fact that we have decided to follow Jesus Christ with everything in our heart and life. And then He's working in us. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said this in 2 Timothy. He said, I've fought the good fight. What's he talking about? This walk. I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. That means I've remained faithful. If you're going to remain faithful and keep the faith and be in the fight, there's going to be a struggle. Today, what I want to talk about is how we are engaged in that struggle, primarily even just with ourselves as a disciple of Jesus. I want to tell one story that Jesus told, pull some truths from that story, and then I want to hit on one key ingredient that you have access to right now and in every situation that will help you and help me to fight the good fight of faith. I like also what Paul wrote to a church like ours, where he said, I'm sure of this, Philippians 1:6, that he who started a good work in you will complete it. Who started the work in you? When we say the work in you, the work that God is doing right now in your life, who started that but God? I mean, the fact that you're even sitting in church, that's so God. He drew you to Himself by His grace, and now you're here and you're in a relationship with Him. Or if you're not in a relationship with Him, you're being drawn into a relationship with Him, wondering what it's about. What is that? That's His grace and His mercy doing that. and then his grace is working as he saves you, and his grace is working in our life every single day. He's doing a work. He started it. I think I said that on a playground when I was in kindergarten. You'd always say, you know, what happened here? And I'd always say, you know, he started it or she started it. But you could say that about the Lord. He started it. Now, if he started it, who's doing it? He's doing it as we work with him. And if he's doing it, let me ask you something about Jesus Christ. Is he going to be faithful to complete it or not? Every project at my house, I am not faithful to complete it. I'll admit it. A lot of them, I'm not faithful to start it. My wife is over here giving me instructions on what to say right now, but I'm not listening to that. But he started it, and if he started it, that means he's doing it. And if he's doing a work in you, that means he's got an idea in mind of how he's going to complete it. And if he's faithful to start it, and if he's good enough to do it, then he will be strong enough to complete it. God is doing a work inside of you that he will see to completion. And some of the struggle that you had this week was the work that he wants to do in you. And we can neglect it. We can reject it, or we can accept it. You see how pastors think like that? We want to accept that work. We want to walk with him in that work. So what I want to do is I'm going to talk through this story that Jesus told. Just before that, I want to pray again. We pray a lot here if you're a guest or visitor because it never hurts. So Jesus, we come to you right now and we thank you for your church. Lord, what an honor to be able to at any moment speak to you and know that you hear us and you care about us. And what we want more than anything is to hear from your word today by the power of your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you here and we welcome you into our lives. The things that you talk about, that you tell us, that we sense by your spirit of what we should do, those are the things that we really want to do. So help us today and be with us. And we thank you for your strength and your ability in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I really love about reading about Jesus' ministry is that Jesus hung out with the riffraff. Are you with me right now? Some of you were riffraff. He hung around people who were sinners. And the so-called righteous people, the religious leaders of that day, would come to Jesus and they accused him of being a drunk. That you, because all these people that you're hanging around. Remember when Jesus invited a tax collector? Actually, he invited himself over to a tax collector's house. I love that. Like Jesus just invites himself over. I'm going to be like Jesus right now. We're coming over to your house, okay? Lunch, what are we having? We got barbecue, pork chops, what do we got? I'm just going to pick the best meal and then we're going to go there. I'm just like Jesus. I'm coming over to your house today. Our pastor's so much like Jesus. Zacchaeus, at his house, he's a tax collector, and Jesus comes over to his house, and they're having this gathering. Can you imagine what it would be like to have Jesus over for lunch? I mean, he's fully man, but he never sins. He never says the wrong thing. It's always the right thing, and he's totally fine if what he says is the completely convicting thing. Like, he's not trying to please anybody but the Father. So he's going to say it. There was one time where the Apostle Peter was in the boat with Jesus and said, "Lord, go away from me. I'm an unclean man." To hang around with him. It was so compelling. We don't know the details of the party, but Zacchaeus was so changed just by being at this party with Jesus. It's the first day he had met him. I mean, he had seen him around, but now he's in the house, and Zacchaeus stands up in the middle of the party and says, a tax collector, "If I've cheated anyone," and everybody's like, "If you've cheated anyone, you cheat everyone." Some people are ticked at tax collectors right now. Yeah! "If I cheated anyone, I'm gonna pay him back. Jesus knew when he had touched a tax collector's wallet, he had touched his soul and his heart. And he said, "You are a son of Abraham, and this is why I've come into the earth. This is why I've come into the world, to seek and to save that which was lost." And the religious leaders didn't get it. Why is he hanging around with all these? Man, you know who needs a physician? Are the people who are sick. And you know who needs water are those who are thirsty. And you know who needs healing are those who know that they need help. And so he's going to these people. And they're accusing him of being a drunk. They're saying, "Why are you hanging around all these people?" And to that, Jesus gives a story. I love the fact that the Son of Man can come to the earth and then he tells stories. And you know, his stories are very important. He wants us to learn something from the stories that he tells. Can you imagine Jesus making up a story? And what's he trying to capture? So in this story that he tells, he talks about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. The lost son is where we will draw our attention today. But as we do and we read this story, I want you to think about maybe three or four things. Where is, first of all, God in this story? Yeah, I've been practicing. I don't know if you know that or not. You're not the first to hear this. Where is God in the story? Because he wants to say something about God. And then where is man or me? Where am I in this story? And then what does this also say about this story? What does it teach us about salvation? And we're also thinking about what it says about this idea of God's grace. It's kind of handy. You can write however you want and it comes up nice. What is this story? What is Jesus saying about God the Father? Because he wants to say something about God the Father. What's he saying about you and me? In every single story that Jesus tells, you're in it. Every single story that Jesus tells. So we look in Luke chapter 15. Oh, just happened to have my Project 345 bookmark. No. But 1,000 years from now, we're going to see each other in heaven, and you're going to come up to me and say, Pastor Rob, you were annoying. But you had me reading the Bible every day, and thank you for that. And I'll say, oh, you're welcome. Say, let's get back to the party. So Jesus tells this story. Understand the context. It's where people are saying, why are you hanging around all of these sinners? So then he tells this story. He said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. The story begins, let's pause there, with 2 sons. A Jewish crowd would have been hearing this story, and they would have heard that there were 2 sons and there was a younger son. The younger son would have 1/3 of the inheritance. The older son would have the larger of the inheritance, but neither of them would get the inheritance until what happens? The father has to die. So the younger son is asking for his inheritance, basically saying, I don't care about my dad. I don't care if you're dead or alive. I just want what's mine. Every 2-year-old in the world of every language, whatever the language is, you know what they say? Mine. I can tell you that even my children, as great as they are, when they were 2 years old, they didn't go around saying, yours, yours, yours. No, no kids ever said that. Mine. This is the word of the flesh. I will have it my way. I want it right now. Any way it has to happen, I have to have this right now. This is where we show up in this story. We are the son, demanding our own way. And then the father in the story is our Father God. And what's amazing and what they would have been really surprised to hear is that this father, this Jewish father, said, okay, while I'm still alive and you ask for it, I will divide the inheritance that he's still using right now. And he gave what they didn't deserve. He gave to his son. This is the nature of the Father. Jesus is wanting to show in this story what God is really like. God gets a bad rap. This is what he's really like, according to Jesus. We demand our own way, but he gave it to him. The story goes on. Not many days after, the younger son, you saw this coming, gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Prodigal simply means wasted. It's right when we say, see, here's the thing. You have to go away from the father. The story here is one of a Jewish son who leaves the tabernacle, leaves the safety of the people of God, and goes out into the Gentile world. It's the story of human beings. It's the story of salvation. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to our own way. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We have all gone astray. This is really good news. Nobody has arrived, and everyone needs a savior. Everyone needs to get in the water and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Every single person is equal in this way. I have a friend of mine who said to me this week, I've never smoked anything. I've never smoked anything. And I said, well, good for you. I wanted to go full Boston on, you're not better than me, you know? And we're not. I'm not better than you, and you're not better than me. And let me tell you something about my non-smoking, never-smoked friend. He needs Jesus just as much as I do. Some days more. I didn't say that. I mean, look around. Every single person in the world needs a Savior. All of us. The ground at the cross is level. It's level. And we all have a need for a Savior. And so he went away. He had to go away from the Father, and he wasted it. Prodigal living. It's right to say, if you've ever been wasted, how many of you have been wasted before? I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. if we were honest, I've been wasted, and it's a perfect word. Because what are you when you're wasted? It's a waste. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of brain cells, a waste of talent. It's a waste of your family. It's a waste of your finances, a waste of your life, a waste of your destiny in God. I have been there. Say, Rob, do you still get wasted? No, I don't get wasted because my life is no longer a waste. There's a purpose in him to follow him. This is why the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a new way to live for him. It's really not right to say we got baked because baked is like a good thing. A cake gets baked, but you get wasted. Okay. That's going to sound weird online. You know what I'm saying? Let's go on with the story. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This is an interesting part of the story. Jesus tells us what sin leads to. Sin for a season. I've spoken to many groups of young people and gone to detention centers in different places where kids are in trouble, and I'll share some of my story. And whenever I mention, like, getting stoned, they all get excited. Oh, you smoke pot? They're all happy because that's their God and their idol, and they get excited about it. Oh, what was that lie? Oh, man, you love that. That was pleasurable. That was fun. Wasn't that fun? Well, I can't lie to them and say, no, I hated every minute of it. No. I'm also not going to lie and say, I've never smoked anything. You know, I'm not saying that's a lie, but I didn't inhale. Like, what were you smoking it for then? What a nerd. You're that guy at the party? Okay. No, but I can say this. It lasted for a season. It lasted for a season. It did not satisfy me. You can try to find it in money. You can try to find it in pride. You can try to find it in religion and trying to be right about everything and being a good person. You can find it in a relationship. You can try to find it in sex. You can try to find it in any pleasurable thing in the earth. But the whole world preaches the gospel. And the gospel is that you will never be satisfied outside of being with the Father through the Son. You'll never be satisfied. And all of us have preached the gospel our whole life, whether we've realized it or not. Because anything that you've sought, anything that you've looked for, hasn't brought you what he's brought you. It hasn't brought you what he's brought you. So I could say, well, okay, it was fun, but it's a season. He spent all, and then there was a severe famine. And this is the grace of God, because he began to be in want. The best thing that could happen to us as we're away from God is that we begin to realize, I'm away from God. To be poor in spirit is to be blessed. That is to realize how much you need God. If you're here today, and you don't know God, but you know that you need him, you are blessed. And for the people in the world who are pursuing all kinds of other things and are not aware of their need for God, that is the opposite of being blessed. Actually, in this story, he's beginning and he's in the process of being saved. Why? Because he's beginning to be in want. And then he joined himself to someone, which you always do when you're away from God, you know, ungodly folks, and you just hang. And then he ends up in pig slop, which the Jewish listeners would have said, They don't have anything to do with swine, and now he's working with them every single day. The story goes on, but when he came to himself, great phrase, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll rise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The day that you came to yourself, came to your senses, that's the day that you repented of your sins. Repentance is a gift of God's grace. It means that you were walking in one direction towards an idol, towards your own life, and you realize, I need to turn away from this sin. If you have sin in your life, and you say, Pastor Rob, what do I do? I mean, I've got this sin in my life. It's easy. I'm going to preach a whole sermon to you right in one word. Repent. It's a gift that you could repent. So what you do when you repent is you're walking in one direction. I was walking one way, and I turned. And when I turned towards Jesus. This is important. You don't just turn away from your sin. You turn towards salvation. And salvation is not a thing. Salvation is a person. Jesus is the only one who came to the earth preaching himself. He didn't preach just about some truth that was out there. He didn't preach about some ideology or some formula that you had to have. He came preaching the truth. He said, I am the way. And I am the truth, and I am the life. Anyone who's thirsty, he didn't say, I can tell you where to get a drink. Anyone who's thirsty, come to me. I will be that bread sent from heaven. I will be that living water that comes out of the rock. I will be everything in your life that you need me to be. He's the only one who preached that he was the answer. So when you turn and you repent, what a gift. Jesus knew you would need this. His mercies are new every morning. Why? That's when you need them. Every single day. He also put it in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our... Thank you, my Catholic friends. I grew up Catholic and we said that prayer a lot. And God knew you would need it. You can be one of two ways. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these sinners. Or you can say, Lord, forgive me a sinner. See, you turn away from it, then you turn towards Jesus, towards someone. Not towards a better life, not turning a new leaf. It's a new life in Christ with him helping you every step of the way. And so this is what he decides. I'm going to repent. I'm going to go and say, I'm low down, no good. And if I could just be one of your servants, it'd be great. And he arose and came to his father. But this is great. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This story gets weirder and weirder if you're a Jewish person listening to this story, because now you're imagining a guy who gave the inheritance early and what they would have been wearing and thinking about wearing at that time, not jeans. He didn't have any Adidas-like joggers, like full-on, like I want to say dress, that a middle-aged man, the picture in your mind, would have to be a middle-aged man hiking up what he's wearing and taking off running. Have you ever seen a middle-aged man run? It ain't pretty. Who in the story is the father? It's God. And we are this son. You make the slightest turn towards him, and he comes running to you? I'd ask you, what kind of a God is this? That you make the slightest turn towards him, and he runs towards you. I would encourage you this week, in the middle of your conversations, in the middle of your meetings, middle of your work, the middle of your family, in the middle of your relationships, would you just turn towards him? Say, Father, I don't have the love I need. I don't have the compassion I need. Would you come and be the love and the compassion? Because I'm not just here to imitate. I'm here to participate with you and the Holy Spirit. Would you just come into this situation right now? Too many times we just rely on ourselves when we have his grace readily available for us at any given moment. So he had compassion, and he kissed him, and the son said to him, Father, he was true to his word, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father does not in any way belittle him. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. They're going to have a barbecue. And kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost, but now he's found. And I paraphrased. And they partied. And they didn't get wasted. because it wasn't a waste. It was a son that was being found. Isn't it interesting that they say, Jesus, why are you hanging out with all these sinners? And then he tells this story of a son being found. He's saying the Father is willing at all costs to himself, even death on the cross, to reach people for him, to be reconciled with God. He's willing to do everything and anything. God, everybody has to clap now. We all have to clap. No, that's sorry, if you're a guest, there's no golf clapping allowed. So if one person does it, then we all have to do it. Because God is good. That he has gone, there's nothing, listen, when Jesus was on the cross and said, it is finished, there is nothing more that needs to be done for your salvation. There's nothing else that can be done for your salvation. It has all been paid for, and now you can walk in newness of life. But we just talked about the fact that this last week, we didn't all do that because we're in process and we're disciples. So let me just say this as we get ready to close. Embrace the fact that salvation is a one-time event and an ongoing process. You are his workmanship. He's working on you. And you can engage with the work that he's doing and know that you're in process. And you can rest assured, none of us have arrived. One thing I do, forgetting last week and press on to next week. This is what Paul said. I haven't attained it yet. We're not there yet. But he's working in us. The question really is, will I allow that work to happen? Will I be accessible to him so that he can do the work that he's doing? I don't always like the work that he does in me. How about you? It's not fun. You say, oh, Christianity's a crutch. No, Christianity is for the courageous who would say, God, I want you to come and do whatever you want to do in my life, and we're going to walk through it, and I'm going to trust you. See, the key to fighting well is accessing God's grace for every single situation. And he has grace for every situation. Grace is not just his unmerited favor. Grace is not just something you say before a meal. Grace is actually his power at work in you. And he has a myriad of grace that you can access at any given situation by the power of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, Paul said, Lord, three times he prayed, would you take this thing away from me? Would you take this thing away from me? And what was God's response to Paul's prayer? He wrote in 2 Corinthians, but the Lord said to me, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, look at the combination there, my grace is my power. My power is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What we would like to do as Christians is just be able to form a line, come up to the altar, and have the flesh cast out of us. Are you with me right now? I had a teenager one time when I was a youth pastor early on in youth ministry. This young boy came up, and he had been struggling with really liking girls. And then, you know, he'd given his life to Jesus, and he had prayed, and he came up to me and said, Pastor Rob, the Lord has delivered me from that desire. I no longer struggle with lust. I said, you're a liar. Some things can't be cast out of you. You say, Pastor Rob, just pray for me. Oh, the spirit of anger, just a demonic oppression of anger. No, bro, that's you. That's you. You say, I just have this problem with lust, and it's just I need to just cast out of me, and I need to be rid of it. No, that's not a demon. I got bad news. It's you. Some things can't be cast out. They can only be discipled out. So that you walk along with the Father and the victory becomes yours and it's who you are. Some things God will come along. He will heal you instantaneously. He will touch your mind instantaneously. He can do anything he wants suddenly. But I found most of it is a discipleship issue. You know what that means? Your favorite word. Process. And our goal is to be open to him every moment of every day. This is what grace is. Paul describes it. Philippians chapter 2, God is at work within you. He's helping you to want to obey him. Isn't that beautiful? And then helping you do what he wants. Because before you knew God, you didn't want to obey him.
And even now you struggle with you want to, but he'll even help you want to. He'll give you the desires of your heart, and your desires will match his desires. He'll help you want to. Maybe this week you just need to pray, Father, will you help me want to do what you want me to do? He'll not only give you the want to, but then he'll help you do it. Grace plus response equals growth. So you have his grace, and then you respond to it. And as you do, you and me, we get to grow in him. And this is what we want every day of our life, just to continue to be a follower and a learner of his. Aren't you thankful that he has power for you, has the Holy Spirit, and he has all the help that we need? Let's grow in grace this week. Would you stand with me? We'll pray before we go. You need to know that we're praying for you, and we deeply appreciate your prayers for us as we pray for one another, and we're growing together in God's grace. We have not arrived, but we're further along than we were before, and you're deeply loved. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for your church, your body, and Lord, especially for every person here, Lord, and every family represented here. Lord, we thank you that your grace is drawing us to you. God, we welcome the work of your Holy Spirit to draw people that are far from you closer and closer to you. God, I do ask you that every single person here who may not know you would be drawn closer to you. There would be a dissatisfaction with everything in their life apart from you, and that they would have that moment of repentance where they come and they turn to you. Lord, if there's anyone here, as we all do so often, need to repent, that we just do that right now. Father, we turn away from our idols. We turn away from stuff that's not healthy for us or anything that doesn't have to do with you. We repent. We ask you to forgive us, and we turn towards you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you that you just walk with us with the power of your Holy Spirit this week. May we be responsive and open. And Father, as we each wake up in the morning and sit down to look in your word, God, I pray that you would speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.